Like somebody give me some jingle bells or something. We'll set the mood.
We can do bonus content once in a while, okay? Some of these last episodes are like 3.5 hours long. That's why it's taking.
No, I legit mean to compliment the whole fucking thing. Me and John were talking about the Christmas Eve ghost story. We should put this up on Christmas Eve.
Capcom, Mel, and here's your host, Matthew Chorney.
Happy holidays, everyone!
Merry Christmas!
Spooky bonus content. This is our Christmas present from us to you.
Yes. Well, from John.
Yeah, I would say this Christmas present.
Yeah, you're right. But we all win. It's from John to Keith, but we all win, really, because everybody wins when it's a workers' ghost story party Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the whole point of communism, Mel.
It's for everyone. It's not just for me. I have to share it with everyone. So, yeah, we're gonna share a little ghost story today. I'm really excited. I have not read this yet. So this will be my reactions will be genuine. And let me get a little. Now it's dark in here, but sadly I need some light to read because I'm old, so it's not going to be spooky here. But it'll be spooky in all our minds and in your ear holes.
Oh man, I can't wait to underlay some spooky music here.
No, I'm pouring myself some eggnog as we speak.
Eggnog. Yes, yes. Actually, yeah. Let me. I didn't turn on the ceiling fan light. I lit a fire here in the den. I'm in my giant armchair with my smoking pipe.
I turned on my fireplace, my 10 hours of continuous fireplace on YouTube.
I do that and just feel really bad.
So does Bob. Bob fucking loves that thing. Him and my sister were sharing the 18-hour-long videos in HD with each other last year.
That's fucking crazy.
Because they had better music.
The fireplaces are good. We need to put the spooky fireplace on the TV, mute it, and then put haunted house music on the stereo.
Really
you jest, but I'm looking at Netflix to see if it's actually out yet.
I will always recommend Lil Bub Rip Christmas. Like Yule Log. You just watch Lil Bub chilling in front of a fire. What's better than one of the cutest cats ever in a fire? But forget cute cat. I don't know. There could be a cute cat in this story. This story is called. Well, I submit this story for the workers' ghost. God damn it. Whatever. The story is called Body Negativity, aka Deadly at Every Size. She's fat. Is how Scott Steiner would describe Amber Andre. Steiner is an insane moron. Someone like you would probably say she was happy or full-figured or at risk of heart disease. Just to be polite. She was huge, though, to be fair, Scott. Amber spent her whole life hating her body. Her childhood was best described as, quote, shit. Her teen years could be summed up as, quote, awful. She had a nice enough personality and some good friends, though. So it could have been worse. As she grew up, she had begun to work with what she had and started to grow as a person, not just as a fat body. If you laughed at that, you're scum. Then one day, Steve Jobs put a smartphone into her hand, next to a Twix, no doubt, with her new Pi phone. There is a very angry skull who is very angry at me for making these jokes on this paper. He is telling me, oh, come on! I don't know if he's talking to me or the author. With her new phone, she set up an Instagram account. At amber-alert69. And she started to upload pictures of herself.
Video
she was surprised by the positive reaction she was getting, mainly from other women who taught her all about body positivity and how somehow fat people were healthy too, just as healthy as star athletes and those people in their 50s who look great for their age. Amber wasn't too pushed with the health kick, though. She was happy just being called pretty. After years of being called things like Amber Andre, the giant badass, or Butter Dracula, or Yamber, or El Hijo del Chris Farley, and the worst and best, Fat Cunt. I know, that's really mean. Especially the last one. I should censor that one. Anyway. Before long, Amber was trapped in an endless feedback loop. She had to like every post she saw in the hope that this would result in a return comment. And like, the dopamine hit was too good. Every time someone liked one of her pics, she felt validated. The only problem was without that validation, she felt like she didn't exist. She started going to art openings and cafes she didn't even like, just to have another excuse to take a selfie to dose her dragon. I like that, John. Very nice. That was fine and dandy until our old pal COVID-19 wrapped the world up in its devastating pandemic submission hole.
Topical.
All of a sudden, I didn't expect this. What a swerve. I actually read the first two pages before to prep myself a little. Did not read the part of page three. Big swerve. Love it. All of a sudden, there was nowhere to go. Nowhere to take that same photo from that same angle with a new background. She already maxed at every background her apartment in the first few days. Sooner or later, the likes were going to dry up. The walls would start closing in. They wouldn't have to close in much either, because she's huge. I know.
Ah, okay.
A long empty day faded into a long empty night. With far too much ease, Amber had lost interest in everything. Her phone wasn't pinging to life anymore to make her feel comforted. She had to do something. She was going to get in on the, quote, healthy at every size hashtags. She started doing a few rudimentary home workouts and recording them to video. It did the trick. Soon enough, likes and words of encouragement were flooding in. Also, she was feeling pretty good. The exercise itself was making her feel better and think better. It was helping with the pandemic blues. So she decided to go all in. She'd do 50 jumping squats and live stream the whole thing. It was a beautiful day outside. The sunshine inspired her. She'd even bother to warm up. The phone was across the room, beaming her every move across the internet. To all her followers and anybody browsing a variety of hashtags, including, for some reason, hashtag ghost rights, hashtag dong daddy gang, and hashtag gobots actually fucking suck, Mel. Yeah, you wrote this to be read, thank you. Oh god. The first jumping squat was rough. She should have warmed up. 3 or 4 in, though, she was starting to find her groove. She was giving everything to her squats. She wasn't even thinking about her phone. Her phone. She glanced over at it. She went up. Then all 420.69 pounds of her came down the wrong way. First to go was her left ankle, shattering at the joint. Amber recoiled in the opposite direction, forcing all her fat weight onto her right ankle, turning it to powder. Both her legs collapsed and fell one by one. Amber hit the ground like a ton of bricks. There were two things she remembered before passing out. The time, 21:11, and the lack of blood considering how much pain she was in. The skin on her legs was somehow intact, wrapped around a swirl of considerable agony. Her injury was an inside job.
Remember the time?
Amber came to surrounded by darkness.
Eve, what time was it again?
It was 21:11. So that would be... God damn it, I gotta give that... Oh, it's 9:11! her two towers fell, her legs.
It's a military clock,
Joe. I was just like, oh, John, you European, you. I didn't get it. It browsed over that fucking... Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, one leg and then the other one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, one... Oh, Jesus. It's good there's a little break here after the inside job joke. Good 9/11. Amber came to surrounded by darkness. Night had fallen on her cramped apartment. That wouldn't feel cramped to a normal-sized person.
Oh, my God.
Amber was in trouble. She could see the ruin of her ankles and feet, but couldn't feel either. Her eyes were the only faint light in the room. The phone still streaming and reflecting back the now dark apartment. She had to get to it to call 911. I mean 911. I mean 911. See, it was connected to the rest of the story.
Jerk.
After a considerable and highly undignified effort, Amber managed to cross the living room to her phone. She snatched it into her hands and was just about to exit out of Instagram to call an ambulance when she saw something that truly horrified her. Zero viewers. Zero likes. Zero comments. Amber had destroyed her ankles and made an exhibition of her agony for nothing, for no one. The sadness of this moment was beyond description. It was really, really, really sad. I can't tell you enough how sad it was, or this was. So sad. She was so sad she didn't notice that was only 1% of battery power left on her phone before she could call for help. It died. Whoa, that's a good visual analogy for what's next. I mean, shut up! Now that the phone's gone, the only light in the room came from the dim glow outlining her front door. The automatic hall lights had come on. If she could get out there, maybe a neighbor could help. With further effort, she dragged herself to the door and beached herself into the hallway, hoping to catch a passerby.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. Just then, her neighbor's door opened, and out walked a man in a cheap, ill-fitting suit, and a red Trump hat came out. Please help, was all Amber could muster. The man looked down at her and just laughed like a racist. Nobody will help you here. You're on your own, sweetheart. I tell you, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but with those ankles, that'll be pretty hard. He had a good laugh again. Then he said, just to be clear, I'm Satan and this is hell. I'd imagine seeing as you just came from America, it'd be pretty hard to tell the difference with Trump and all. Not even Satan laughed at that. And he made the joke. Anyway, continued Satan, this is hell. I'd like to meet everybody on their first day. Your ankles should be okay. You just remember being... what is it? You just remember them being broken, so that's why you're manifested that way. Once you're on your feet, you can find something to do with the rest of your existence. I don't care. You get out of hell when you put into it, I say, so just try your best. Maybe level up, become a demon, and possess someone who needs a bit of company back on Earth. There's no phones down here, so I hope you really find yourself and start to love who you actually are instead of who the internet made you think you are. Oh, and get to know your neighbors, Lemmy. The Lemmy. He lives down the hall. Surprisingly funny guy. Well, I have to go. Make sure Hitler is still in heaven. Bye! Amber didn't know what to do next, but she believed in herself and the future in a way she never had. The end. Keep an eye on your mailbox for the next ghost story. In Cell, a.k.a. Lockdown in Simp Town.
Yeah, that's the next one.
I can't wait for the next one.
Bravo. You have outdone yourself.
Please tell me we don't have to wait till next Christmas Eve, John,
We've gotten two of these now. It's the next spooky holiday.
Ooh. Oh, that's still too far away.
Well, Easter is pretty terrifying, so.
Oh, yeah. Jesus dies.
Passover is super violent.
It is at our house.
But no, I'll write
some more. All
right,
New York Jewish person with your joke. You taking that down to the comedy club?
Yes, I am.
Sorry, I'm feeling salty, man. Sorry. Not salty. I'm
You're feeling salty. I'm the only fat one in this conversation. I had to listen to that whole story.
Hey, no. I am. Now, I'll have you know, all right? I have let myself go.
you are probably portly at best, sir.
But the point of the, when I was writing it, because I watched a video about, like, body positivity on the internet and how it's become a toxic community, and that kind of inspired it. But I also, I realized at a certain point that I couldn't just write a couple of fat jokes, because that just was really mean. I had to overdo it to the point where it becomes ridiculous. But she has a happy ending, you know? She's in hell.
Lemmy's just down the hall? I mean, that's pretty cool.
She doesn't have to... she's left the real hell, which is this plane of existence. Now she's down there where she can, again, find out who she truly is. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, fucking...
That's, like, deep, man. Wow.
And Hitler's not even there.
No, he's in heaven. Because that's where Christians go.
Yes.
He asked for forgiveness on your deathbed, as I'm sure he did.
But no, I did want to give her a happy ending, because I felt like I was beating the shit out of her as I was...
You were! You made her ankle bones turn to dust, John.
Oh, yeah.
My personal favorite part.
But, dear
listener...
John was like, I went in pretty hard on some of these jokes. I almost feel bad about it.
I think... If you do not realize, listener, that the true ghost and monster of this story is the internet, well then, you're lost.
But also obesity. Hit the gym, you fucking bastards. It's almost New Year's.
Yeah, and don't overdo it. John's point of the story is she overdid it for attention, when she shouldn't be overdoing it.
Yeah, you should overdo it for your health. Not for attention.
Well, overdoing it in general is bad. Just exercise your own ability.
That's a joke, John.
And slowly ramp up, you know?
Yeah, don't be in a rush to kill yourself. Slowly kill yourself at the gym. Yeah. It's totally okay.
Yeah. That's all health is keeping death at bay for another couple of weeks.
Being healthy... means hating your life so you can live just a little bit longer. Remember that.
Yep. And as I will always say to people when they're like, "You're skinny, wow," and I'm like, "Doesn't mean I'm healthy, motherfucker."
So, true.
But yeah, no, I had fun writing that. I forgot the line that got me that I forgot I wrote was "El Hijo del Chris Farley."
Yeah.
That was the one.
That's
when
the
I read it.
Insulting thing you've ever said. Probably son of Chris Farley to this woman.
Yeah, but also the 9/11 thing, I had a big yoke to myself when I wrote that.
Yeah, thanks for pointing it out, because it flew over. I didn't think about what time it was.
That you performed quite well, where it's like, it matters, connects to the rhythm.
Yeah, I added my own little flavor there. Yeah, because I read it as 9/11, and then I realized it was supposed to be read as 9/11. As I was reading it, so that's why I added in the, like, I mean 9/11, I mean 9/11, like, I realized it as I read it.
But my favorite thing to do is to write from the perspective of somebody who is excited to be writing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love, like, writing as somebody who's like, oh man, this is so spooky.
So what you're saying is, You really like writing as a guy who loves to write just a wave of consciousness onto a piece of paper.
Yeah, I like writing
from an adaptation?
Kind of, but less complicated.
Yeah.
But I like writing as somebody who's excited to be writing, but has no patience to actually be a writer, a proper one.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, so goes out the window. I just get these words on this page.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, it's probably obvious. I wrote that in one go. And, like, there's just no, funny enough, I wrote a first draft, but it wasn't funny enough in the first, like, page. Like, it took, like, a page and a half to become funny, and I was like, nah, we're done. Go straight to the jokes. And that's why I started with the Scott Steiner joke. And I was like, come on, man, Scott Steiner, like, who can, you know what kind of story we're dealing with when we started with Big Papa Pump, you know?
Yeah, because, like, literally the words, she's fat, I didn't even have to get to the Steiner bit. I knew exactly. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a John story.
But my next story, I was conscious that I wrote two stories making fun of women. So my next story will be about Simpson incels.
Hey, I mean, you know, GoBots don't suck enough not to make stories, so.
Yeah. But,
Simpson incels, the women of the males world. Great.
Yeah. This is going to be fantastic. Since I read it, I did read the title in a very specific way, because it is written in cell. With yes. Two L's. It's two separate words. So
I've locked myself into a story about one of them. Because I just thought the word incel was funny. And then I put the tagline, a.k.a. lockdown in Simptown. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'll figure it out.
I have faith in you, John. Every faith.
Yeah. Exactly. Total and absolute faith. So I would like to say, from the Sidecast family to your family, a very spooky Christmas to you in hell.
And if everything went right this year, hey, guess what? You got a little bit more bonus content for this. We might be the closest to the end of the world we've ever been, guys, for this one. So, huzzah! If you're listening to this, it's... You made it! You literally got 1 week and a day to get out of this horrible year. Congratulations.
Dude. Yes, all will change with the clock changing.
Yeah, it totally is the calendar.
Yes.
So
I mean,
we're all stuck in eternal hell.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Sammy.
This feels super premature at the time of recording this, but Merry Christmas, everybody.
I broke the fourth wall. The wizard is just the guy behind the curtain. No.
Do you know what's really fitting, actually, is that we did do this on 9/11. Because it's the 9th of...
European 9/11, yes.
Yeah, the worst 9/11, the communist.
Never forget.
Merry European 9/11, everyone!
Happy European 9/11! Happy holidays, goodbye!
Happy holidays, bitches!
Yes! Happy holidays, bitches!
Oh my god! It's the best Sidecast present anyone could
ever. Oh, God. Yeah, no, that might be the best holiday special we've ever fucking done. Thanks, John.
Yeah.